Let's get to our guest. Rahil Chadha is Chief Investment Officer at Mirae Asset Global Investments, joining us in our Hong Kong studio. We want to talk about your views on investing in Asia and particularly how investable China is. But just getting to the broader picture of Fed officials stressing their commitment to defeating inflation here, how much is kind of priced in into markets that we could see another aggressive hike?
So I think what Fed has done this time around is it's kind of a front-ended lot of hikes, and that's come because for the last couple of years Fed was more worried about deflation than inflation. And a fair bit of hikes have been front-ended, markets have priced in. What markets are now watching is what impact does it have on economic data? So clearly we've seen Europe slow down, China slowed down. So it's the U.S. consumer, U.S. business spends which are holding on. Our view is by early 2023 we'll see some signs of slowdown over there also.
Indeed, and when you point to the data, the jobs market is certainly key as well. We're looking ahead to that ADP report and then the key jobs number as well. When we start to see a slowdown in the consumer, how much does that kind of just add to these concerns about a recession?
So I think clearly once there is a bit of a slowdown, but our view is this recession is going to be shallow because unlike the previous cycle, which is the 2008 cycle, there are not many economic excesses. In fact, the problem in the world was that last 10 years, China overinvested and rest of the world did not invest. So if at all this slowdown recession happens, I think it's going to be a couple of quarters of a shallow cycle.
The other key issue for investors is what's happening with geopolitics. And we saw Taiwanese soldiers firing shots to ward off these civilian drones that were flying close to the islands controlled by Taipei near China. When you look at the geopolitical risk, is that just another reason to kind of stay away from markets at the moment, or are you trying to hedge here?
So I think clearly this is a challenging situation managing money in these times. The tail risks have become a lot more fatter. As they say, and I think if one sees some of these risks kind of materializing, one may have to change positions very, very quickly. But at this point of time, I think both sides are mature, and I don't see a major escalation on this part.
All right, let's get to the China story, though, because as we were talking about, a potential pileup of problems could see it hit to the PMIs for China. In your view, where do you see the most value in that market?
Okay, so I think clearly one thing which we've got to see with China is this relaxation of dynamic zero COVID policy they're following. The hope is that after the Congress meeting in October, things kind of ease out. And we've seen with the new strains of the virus, these are more contagious but less fatal. So I think the authorities know that. So they're also opening up fairly quickly. So as they relax on this zero COVID, as they do a bit of an easing, we should see some bit of an economic recovery come through. The internet platform are very, very attractive. See, longer term, we've got issues on growth rates China is going to achieve. But near term, I think with the strong pent-up demand coming through once the reopening happens, these names can have a decent upside.
All right, so tech you like. What about the property space?
We've stayed away from property space. I think clearly there are some trading opportunities here and there, but the overall builds are going to settle at a much lower number. So that's a very tactical space, and I think clearly with the aging population and all those things, that would not be a structural story. If you've got to play the value part in China, you'd rather do the internet platforms.
So we're talking about some of your calls, and you said despite cheap valuations, underweight China, but you are overweight India. Why?
India is a story we've liked for the last couple of years, and I think the story is clearly coming of age. What we've seen being done by the government is bearing fruit now. Whatever government's done on goods and service tax is resulting in higher tax collections. The PLI scheme to attract investments is working out, and it's a fresh economic cycle. So despite all the noise we see in the world, the growth continues to surprise positively. Though the markets kind of have done well in recent times, if you see from the COVID lows, in fact, India's outperformed other EMs significantly. But this is a market to buy on dips. Any correction which comes because of energy shocks, we'd be looking to increase our India exposure.
A lot of the recovery in ASEAN is being driven by tourism, but when we start to look at the spike in energy bills, which you point out could derail the fledgling recovery, how much are price pressures a concern here?
So clearly, India and ASEAN are two kind of regions which will get negatively impacted should there be a spike in energy bills significantly from here. But to their advantage, what these two regions are seeing is benefits of a bit of a manufacturing move away from China. It's a fresh economic cycle. Valuations have corrected. So some of the growth names or internet names which are listed in ASEAN, these names are down 70% from highs. We saw in the tech bubble in 2000s, most good companies kind of bottomed at 60-70% down from highs. So for any investors who's got a 3-4 year time frame, there are good niche stories in ASEAN. And one market particularly we like in ASEAN is Vietnam. I think it's an underrated market because it's not part of EMs. It's not that discovered, but look, what you get is great companies, good ROEs, good business models at early stage of their growth and at a fraction of valuations of India. So I think that's a market one has to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, that economy is powering along. I was there a few weeks ago, and first time in a few years, it is a completely changing country, Vietnam. You're also looking at some of the EV battery names as well. Tell us, I guess, the thought here of not only, I guess, investing in the future, but just the fact that we are seeing such a strong demand for some of these companies.
So I think clearly that's where Korea becomes of interest to us. So it's a non-consensus kind of an overweight, reasonable exposure, large exposure for us. What we like in Korea is some of the Korean automakers who are also the top three companies in EVs, largely Hyundai Motors and Hyundai Group, etc., in Europe and US. And then there is the Korean EV battery makers. So what we're going to see is a lot of the Korean EV battery makers make inroads into US at the cost of their Chinese peers. And I think that's the opportunity. So if you look at the scale-up for the leading EV battery makers in Korea, it is 5 to 6x their current revenues in the coming decade. So I think that's a significant growth opportunity.
How much is a concern about weakening currencies in Asia sort of giving the thought that you could see what happened in 1997? I mean, we're seeing these calls that you could see the yen towards 140, and then we've got the PBOC really trying to stem the decline in its currency.
So I think one has to keep that at the back of the mind, that kind of ties into what we were discussing on a separate note earlier, the geopolitical conflict and the fatter tail risks in today's world. So I think that's where it comes through in currencies, with dollar being so strong, with US rates being at 3-3.5%, and ECB looking to do a yield curve control, BOJ looking to do yield curve control, currencies are going to be fairly volatile, and that's something one has to keep in mind. The hope here is that the policymakers have learned from the mistakes of the past. So should there be an event like freezing of credit markets, they're going to step in very quickly.
Not a great year so far for Asian stocks, only 2 months that we're in the black, and basically the gains that we saw in July being wiped out by the losses in August. Where do we go for the last 4 months of the year?
I think 4 months are going to be fairly range-bound, but this gives you an opportunity to build a portfolio for next 3 years. The view is that we'll see some signs of slowdown in the U.S. in next 6 to 8 months, and that's where monetary policy turns neutral. And look, the hope is that Fed speak does most of the work rather than the actual actions, etc. And what we have is valuations as a friend. Valuations as a friend, it's a under-owned kind of a space. So anybody who's got a 3-year time frame, I think next 6 months would give great opportunities to accumulate
time in the market, as they say, not timing. Thank you so much, Rahil Chadha, Chief Investment Officer at Mirae Asset Global Investments, joining us in our Hong Kong studio here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.